Recorded live at Alexander W. Dreyfus School of the Arts, you're listening to The Voice of Dreyfus, a podcast by The Muse. Hello everyone, my name is Sebastian Fernandez.
I'm Maddie Rubin.
And I'm Lila Goldstein. Today, on our very first episode, we'll be hearing from students about their opinions on the removal of Confederate memorials around our area.
To start though, we need some background. We are all aware of the White Nationalist March on Charlottesville a while ago, and we know how it turned violent when a car drove through a crowd of anti-neo-Nazi protesters, killing one and injuring many.
That's right, Sebastian. The march that occurred in Charlottesville is similar in passion and message to the protests against the removal of Confederate memorials around the nation. This could likely happen in any town, even here in West Palm Beach.
In fact, a Confederate memorial is set to be removed from Woodlawn Cemetery in our area by the city of West Palm Beach.
As it turns out, Lila, the city of West Palm has been removing such statues well before the events in Charlottesville. West Palm Beach Mayor Jerry Moyo shared remarks on the matter on August 22nd. Here's a clip from her press release, courtesy of the city of West Palm Beach's Vimeo page.
As many of you know, well before Charlottesville and all of the occurrences that have happened over the past week, we removed all of our public Confederate statues. I believe strongly that they are a symbolism of hate and bigotry, and we don't want that here in our city. As a matter of fact, I recently joined 200 mayors in joining the compact to combat hate, extremism, and bigotry that was developed through the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And as a member of that compact, I've pledged to reject extremism and white supremacy and all forms of bigotry. And that's what we're going to do here.
Mayor Moyo continued, explaining that the city had been in contact with the Daughters of the Confederacy, the organization who funded the monument in the first place, to ask them to remove the statue. They refused, so the city took it into their own hands.
The statue is set to be taken away, but we wanted to hear some student opinions on the mayor's actions. For that, we'd like to welcome theater senior Azure Kordick and communication sophomore Marco Munoz to discuss the matter with us.
Hi Marco, welcome to the show.
Hi Lila, thank you for having me.
And Azure, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so for both of you guys, to what extent do you agree with the mayor's statement that such memorials are, quote, symbols of hate and bigotry?
Well, personally, I would say that it's completely dependent on the individual displayed, because there were, obviously the Confederacy was an entity that had strong ties with slavery, but there were certain people inside of the Confederacy who were actually inherently moral and good, because it was a part of the time where that was like universal. And I think that saying that anybody who owned slaves was like inherently evil is unjust, because then you would have somebody like one of our founders, like George Washington, who did all he could for his men in fighting the Revolutionary War. He would be taken down when he has statues around the country. Or somebody even in the Civil War like Robert E. Lee, who stood down in Gettysburg because he was losing the battle, stood down for his men and actually wanted to join Lincoln in the Union, it would be an insult to their creed.
Do you guys believe that the mayor's actions are justified?
Yes and no. Because, yes, like, to most people, it is viewed as a symbol of hatred and bigotry. Mm-hmm. If it was in public property, okay, I get it. Like, you're trying to say, we're, as a city, we support everybody, blah, blah, blah. But if it's private property and it's that individual point of view, I just...
Yeah, I agree. I think that because it's private property, they have the right to do what they want with the statue. But I also think at the same time, it's the job of a public servant like herself to execute what the people want. And this county and the city of West Palm is very liberal. So I'd say that their will would be to have the statues taken down.
So why is it, in both of your opinions, that we've seen so many passionate people on both sides of this issue?
Well, you have the right, or I'll generalize it, where they have a strong feeling of heritage towards the Confederate States and the generals that served and the people that served for that country. And they feel like the flag and the people who fought for the Confederate States were a part of their bloodline and a part of who they are, and they identify with those people. And to them, that's like taking down their biggest legacy, that's taking down their heroes, and therefore they defend it very passionately. But at the same time, you have the left, who argues that it is a symbol of hatred and bigotry because this country that's no longer existent stood for slave and immoral values, and therefore that's the argument at hand.
Azure, what do you think?
I think that there are like two sides to everything, and like I said a little earlier, it's people who believe these things don't believe they're doing bad. They believe that they're doing what's right, so everyone wants to be right, and so everyone's going to argue. Unfortunately, many people in this world aren't open to the new world and the direction that we are going in, so people are stuck in old views because of it is their heritage, this is what they grew up knowing, this is what they learned, this is what they're supposed to like be following. So when something interrupts their stasis, people react in a negative way.
Why do you think that this issue has been receiving so much publicity in the media and in all different forms of news?
Probably because it's something that indirectly affects all of us, because it addresses the issue of racism in the United States, and it's similar to how the football players are kneeling now inside of like the games. It's the same type of protest, except this is a protest from the right side, where they're defending their statues versus protesting the rights for African Americans with the kneeling. So the reason why this is so mainstream is because it's tackling an issue that's been inherent inside of US culture for centuries.
So you're saying the underlying issue with this is racism, and that's why it's such a big deal, because we still face this problem within the US?
Yes, it's identifying the racism inside the United States.
Azure?
Yeah, because there's always been the people who believe that what they do. It's not something that they're like recently like, oh, you know, now I'm going to start, you know, not supporting blacks, but now because people are becoming more vocal about it and it's brought to public attention, people realize that they're not the only ones out there anymore who don't like black people or don't like Hispanics or whatever, or feel like they're the white supremacy. And so now there's an outlet for them to meet and get like present their views. And so because they're doing that, the people who are against that are like, hey, you can't do that. Like, that's not what America's about. So they're both using the media as an outlet.
So do you think that the current political divide in our nation today has anything to do with why this issue has become so relevant?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's like I previously mentioned. It's become, race has unfortunately become, in a generalization sense, a right-left issue. I'd say that not entirely, because obviously I'm not saying that all Republicans are racist. That would be completely immoral. But I am saying that it has somehow become divided politically. And we are seeing that, especially through, like I said, through the kneeling and through these statues becoming so controversial, that their stances being taken on both sides, and therefore the issue did become politically fragmented.
Mm-hmm. Azure, what about you?
There has always been this issue. Mm-hmm. Like, people have always thought that black, white, whatever, like, that there is like a hierarchy, and people have always thought that everyone's equal. Like, it's not something that's recent, it's just it's recently come to light, because it's something that they have known. Like, these views of, like you said, not all Republicans or not all Democrats. Like, people are
both
flexible,
yeah,
and both in different ways. But typically, they have grown up this certain way, and they have had these thoughts. And so typically, like, Republicans think one way and Democrats think another. And then, especially with recent elections, that just like brought again the attention, and then people were like, well, if our current president can think this way,
mm-hmm,
like why isn't it okay for me to feel this way if our president feels
sort
this
of
way?
Heightened,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think that the president felt a certain controversial view, but the people like kind of put that under a magnifying glass. They're like, okay, if he feels,
yeah,
like this slight approach, I can go all the way and be like extremist about it. Like, if he's,
mm-hmm,
gonna say, give me that little leeway, I'll take a mile.
So you guys feel that because of President Trump's sort of opinions on this, it's kind of encouraged other people or made them more likely to share their own opinions, which may be more extreme than his.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
Because even if you look at, like, Barack Obama's, even if you don't agree with, like, what he did during his term, what he advocated was, like, he had a family aspect with Michelle Obama and, like, always, like, bringing kids to the White House, and that was that I think most people can agree was something that, like, good. It was, like, bonding, and, like, everyone is, like, we all love each other. But then recently, it's, like, okay, now what can we change? What can we change to make America better? And even if whether you agree it's going to make America better or not, that's what Trump is saying, and he doesn't really filter through.
Right.
So
it's, just, so it's like unfiltered change. Sort of.
Yeah. I will say that this issue, I'm not going to blame the president on the whole thing.
Yes.
That would be, like, stupid. I don't think it's all his fault. I think that the measures he took, especially, like, hesitating to, like, go against these people who are committing these crimes, and, like, even that person who ran over that woman, I mean, his response has to be immediate. And I know, again, like, not regarding politics, but I know that our former president definitely would have made a statement immediately. And that's, like, that has to be the response. And because he was hesitant, because he didn't renounce David Duke inside of his campaign, like, all these things are just build up for these extremists to take advantage of and be like, okay, he just took a minute for this, or he waited for this, so therefore we can take all this extra, like, mileage for us to do and say these things.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Marco. Thank you, Azure. Those were great responses.
Thank you.
Though it may be hard to believe, the debate over Confederate memorials has been going on within our close-knit yet diverse community for quite some time.
In 2004, the school district of Palm Beach County, after 7 years of debate, quietly changed the name of Jefferson Davis Middle School to a more generic Palm Springs Middle School.
Some background on Jefferson Davis. He served as the president of the Confederacy during the Civil War, and approximately 14,000 Floridians served as soldiers under his direction. Some residents praised the naming of the local school, whereas others disapproved.
We've invited theater sophomore Daisha Thompson to the show today, who attended Palm Springs Middle, to hear what she has to say on the matter.
Welcome, Daisha.
Thank you.
So, did the name of the school ever bother you?
To be honest, I didn't know who Jefferson Davis was. I actually came in the middle, like, 7th grade.
Mm-hmm.
So all that, like, research, oh, this is a school, it was more so like, okay, I'm changing a whole new environment because I came from down south. So, but finding out that that's who he was, it did kind of, like, make me question, like, why would, you know, why did, I did do some research, like, how long it took them to actually change the name, and that they were like, okay, let's just hurry up and do it. It brought up the question, like, why did it take so long? Because I don't think that was right to name,
mm-hmm.
to keep it for so long, Jefferson Davis Middle School, because, I mean, what he stood for is very controversial and can be very offensive, being that the school in the area was also, like, there was a lot of minority groups in there that I know would not stand for that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like the school was ever misjudged or misinterpreted to outsiders as a result of it being named after the Confederate president?
I feel like anything that has a name of someone so, like, historical, I guess, that stands for something such as he did,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it would be judged, okay, so this is what this school likes, that's who they want to represent, and being the age that we are in now, I don't think that's right, and it would bring a lot of questioning to people who are outside of the school looking at just a name, because your name is everything. If that's what you're going to
mm-hmm.
name a school, that's what people are going to know you by and represent you by.
Mm-hmm.
When you were a student at the school, did you notice whether students were more intolerant because of the name, like if they adopted a negative attitude as a result of the name or committed hateful acts as a result of it?
Well, I don't think anyone really, to be honest, like the people I was always talking to, like even when they, like it came up, hey, this used to be Jefferson Davis, I feel like a lot of people didn't really know. It wasn't really like mentioned, like, oh, it used to be named Jefferson Davis and he stood for this and this. It was just
mm-hmm.
like, oh, the school used to be this. And like, I think a lot of people take interest, like with, even with Dreyfus, people are like, oh, it used to be this before Alexander Dreyfus donated the money. But like, I don't think a lot of people knew. Therefore, I don't think a lot of stuff was created out of that. Any like, in like acts of like abusing anything or
mm-hmm.
anything.
So you mentioned that, the old name was brought up somewhat rarely. What context was it normally brought up in?
Well, the principal that's there, I remember people talking, saying that she had been there for like years, like 20, 30 years. I can't remember the exact number. So people were like, oh, so teachers would sometimes like mention something if kids were asking, like, oh, well, what was it when she was there? Like, or what was it like? Because I know some teachers that I had actually went to that school when they were younger. So it was just brought up as in a general text, not anything specific to the
mm-hmm.
history of the actual school.
So why do you think the case of the Palm Springs Middle is not as well known to the public as other, like, more important statue takedowns?
Well, I know the principal that is at the school, I know that, I don't think she would actually stand for something as such
mm-hmm.
as that. I'm hoping, I don't know her on a personal level to actually decipher whether or not she stands for that, but I think it was more so just like, okay, I don't want to offend anyone. Let's just do it on the down low. And being that it wasn't something, I feel like it's just something that just wasn't really targeted in terms of like, this is what it used to be. How do you feel about this? It was always something that was always kind of pushed under the rug, just as they intended it to be.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. I feel like we've covered a lot, guys, for the first edition of The Voice of Dreyfus.
Definitely, I think we've learned that Dreyfus students definitely have opinions on controversial topics, and they have unique experiences that can add a new perspective to this debate, especially from a younger age. Special thanks to our guests, sophomores Marco Munoz and Daisha Thompson, for sharing their thoughts with us.
And Asher Cordick, thank you.
And if anyone listening has an opinion on the matter, make sure to leave a comment here on the Muses website sharing your viewpoint or a suggestion of what we should discuss next.
Well, that's all we've got for this edition of The Voice of Dreyfus. See you next time, listeners. I'm Lila Goldstein.
I'm Maddie Rubin.
And I'm Sebastian Fernandez. Thank you.